So today we are going to discuss about a very interesting subject. Correcting each other in a Vaishnava way. A difficult job. So maybe it will be better to read some Prabhupada's quotes before, then we go into that point. So Prabhupada wrote to Patit Uddharan Prabhu, so in your letter you are not finding fault with anyone. So you are a good Vaishnava. You do not find fault with anyone. This is the qualification. We should always think ourselves humble and meek. This you must know. So we all have to cooperate amongst ourselves. Otherwise, what will people think if we ourselves fight with one another? A devotee is always ideal in his behavior. It's a wonderful quote. Prabhupada actually gave so many wonderful instructions. And if we just follow these instructions that Prabhupada gave us, we can very easily become Vaishnava. Srila Prabhupada led to Brahmananda. This is called Vaikuntha attitude. In the Vaikuntha, factually there is no fault in anyone. But there is another type of competition. The competition is that one devotee thinks of other devotees, how nicely they are serving the Lord. In the material world, the attitude is that everyone likes to think that I am doing better than others. This is material conception. In the spiritual sky, it's just the opposite. Everyone thinks that my contemporary devotees are doing better than me. We are trained to address God brothers as Prabhu, which means Master. This means we shall try to find out always the serving side of our God brothers. Sometimes there are misgivings, but we should try to overlook. Letter to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I have received one complaint from an Indian devotee at Mayapur, Prabhu Rupa Das Brahmachari, that he is maltreated by our American devotee. Kindly inquire into this matter and do the needful. Either Indian or foreigner, whoever joins us, they are not under any obligation. Our only tie is love of Godhead. It should be our definite policy that nobody is ill-treated that he may go away. We recruit a person to join us after spending gallons of blood. Everyone comes for reformation. You cannot expect everyone to be perfect. Rather, it is our duty to make everyone perfect, as far as possible. We shall be very much cautious and careful in this connection. This is a mistake. We shall be. Prabhupada was also, I remember another incident in Mayapur. Prabhupada was very upset. Prabhupada was asking, where is that devotee? Where is that devotee? So he inquired about few devotees. And then Prabhupada was told that they all left. Then Prabhupada lamented. He said that I am making them devotees and you are driving them away. So we should be very careful that the devotees, those who come and join the movement, we make an endeavor to keep them in the society. If we think that every devotee must be perfect, then we'll naturally become frustrated. Because no one is perfect. We are aspiring for perfection. So if there is some imperfection in some individuals, we should learn to tolerate. So, and Prabhupada is saying that they are not under any obligation. Whoever joins us, they're not under any obligation. And we make them devotees after spending gallons of blood. We make so much endeavor to make devotees. So we must also make an endeavor to keep them in the movement. Yes, Vasudev.
So this is in the understanding that the devotional service is voluntary.
Yes.
No obligations. However, my understanding is that once we join the movement, there are certain rules. And that one should be informed that if he does not follow these rules, he won't be able or allowed to stay in the association of the devotees.
Right. Actually, that understanding is made clear even before they join. Everyone joins the movement knowing very well they have to follow the four rigorous principles and they have to chant 16 hours.
But there are so many other ones.
Actually, these are the basic rules, right? And if somebody follows that rule, if there is some discrepancy in him, we must learn to follow it.
So everything else is not a reason for asking someone to leave.
No, there is no. Unless and until they are breaking the four rigorous principles and not chanting the holy name 16 rounds a day, we cannot really ask them.
A lot of times it's very hard to tell whether they are following or
because,
not,
you
by
see,
the fact that they are not allowing it to be seen.
If somebody follows the regular principle, practically all his vices are taken care of. Right? If somebody follows the four regular principles, actually all our sin, all the sins are dependent on this regular principle. You know, breaking this regular principle. So if somebody doesn't break the regular principle, he may have some minor defects, like you may tell him, serve prasad today, and the devotee disregards your instruction and goes up to the brahmachari ashram and sleeps, right? That shouldn't be the reason to drive him out of the house, right? But if some guru think of it, if somebody steals, right, then that is breaking a regular principle. He's being untruthful. Now, if somebody is in a perpetual habit of stealing, then you can tell him that you can't stay in the movement. You see, when somebody joins, knowing well that he'll have to follow the four regular principles, that means no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, I tell you, he is ready to do anything, provided we train him. Letter to Upendra. Kindly observe the regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds regularly, and see that all your other assistants are doing the same. If someone is lacking, try to induce him peacefully. Prabhupada's letter to Upendra. Yes, a new man may commit blunders in the beginning, but that does not mean we may be too impatient with him. After all, training means the man does not know. So you should train him nicely. A Vaishnava is expected to be humbler than the blade of grass. So when you train some new man, you should not get agitated with him. After all, we are preachers, and we do not expect our audience or candidates completely respond to our call. If everyone is trained already, then what is the use of our preaching? Srila Prabhupada's letter to Hansa. Mend him, don't break him. Try to settle up amicably and correct yourself. One man is trained up with great difficulty, especially in spiritual life. Everyone has got some weaknesses and deficiency. It is better to correct or mend it than to break it. Srila Prabhupada's letter to Naranarayan. Let the authority handle it. I beg to thank you very much for your letter pointing out some of the discrepancies of many of the devotees in New York. You are correct regarding the items which you have stated, such as sleeping in front of the deities, taking of unoffered foodstuffs, drinking water from the bathroom, and non-chanting of rounds. But the thing is, discipline cannot be observed unless there is obedience. As you are obedient to me, you should be similarly obedient to my representative. Your statement about Brahmananda, that he is a wonderful devotee, is 100% agreed by me. He is in charge of the New York Center. And therefore, if proper obedience is not given to him, it will be impossible for him to manage affairs of the temple. Under circumstances, the discrepancies you have observed in the temple may be referred to him. And he is quite reasonable and will handle the matter with the respective devotees. Srila Prabhupada's letter to Madhu Mangal. Regarding general state of affairs at Amsterdam Temple, I can understand there is some disturbance among you. But that is not to be taken very seriously. Real business is preaching work. And if there is full attention on this matter only, all other businesses will be automatically successful. Fighting amongst ourselves is not at all good. But if our preaching work is neglected, or if we fall down in following the regulative principles, such as rising before four, chanting 16 rounds, like that, if these things are not strictly observed, then Maya will enter and spoil everything. So my best advice to you is to strictly observe these things yourself and be the example so that all others may follow. We should not criticize each other as Vaishnavas, because there is fault in everyone, and we may be ourselves subject to criticism. Best thing is to be above suspicion ourselves. Then, if we see discrepancies and make suggestions, the others will automatically respect and take action to rectify the matters. That is cooperation. And we must exist on such cooperation, otherwise the whole thing is doomed. If we simply go on fighting over some small things. So try to organize these things and preach together in this spirit, and that will please me very much. Letter to Vrindavanishwari. You have mentioned about some criticism made by Jai Govinda, which upset you. I do not know exactly what is the point, but if there is some honest criticism, there should be no cause for becoming upset. Srila Prabhupada's letter to Govindasundar. The defect lies within you. If there is some incident and I claim that no one is cooperating with me or no one will work with me, that is my defect, not theirs. The Vaishnava devotee must think like this. We should not find fault with others and criticize and go away. That is not the Vaishnava way. Better we should always be willing to offer all respect to others and consider them as our superiors as well. Correcting each other in a Vaishnava manner, Srila Prabhupada's letter to Hansi Dutta. Devotee means he is able to tolerate all kinds of discomfort and whims of the material nature. And because he is too much absorbed in serving Krishna, he takes no time to become angry or take offense with others or find out some faults. No, devotee means very liberal and kind to everyone. Always gentleman under all kinds of conditions of life. So, now we'll go back to the points that we wanted to discuss today about how to correct each other in a Vaishnava manner. There's a letter from Srila Prabhupada to Hansa Dutta. Devotee means he is able to tolerate all kinds of discomfort and whims of the material nature. And because he is too much absorbed in serving Krishna, he takes no time to be angry or take offense with others or find out some fault. No, devotee means very liberal and kind to everyone. Always gentleman under all kinds of conditions of life. That was the last quote from Srila Prabhupada. Point one, there is a difference between criticism and correction. A devotee realizes that criticizing a Vaishnava pollutes the heart and impedes spiritual advancement. So, devotees do not usually criticize. If he sees some defects, some serious defects in others, and if he feels that he should point it out, he does it in a proper way. Now, few considerations that we'll discuss. Like one very important point is that we should not criticize or we should not try to correct others in public. Because everybody has a certain amount of false ego. After all, we all are not pure devotees. So we have some false ego. Now if our defects are exposed in public, then our false ego gets hurt. And it has a negative effect. Instead of taking the advice, we tend to defend. We even tend to get into arguments, and we often think that the person, or If we do that, the person will think that we are his enemy. And so we don't have a positive effect. So it's better to be careful about the other person's feelings when you're trying to correct him. And to correct a devotee, one must be non-envious. We must do it in the mood of tolerance, humility, patience, and concern. We are concerned about that individual, that's why we are trying to correct. It is not that now we found a fault with someone, now let's smash him. That shouldn't be the mood. Now we got him, now let's run him through the grinder. That shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be of great concern and friendship. All the other devotees are our friends. Now, also here we must remember that do unto others as you expect others to do unto you. So, if you have some, always Prabhupada pointed out in one of his letters that everyone has faults. Now, if you become too critical, then others also will find faults with you. There is an expression, don't throw stones at someone when you yourself are living in a glass house. When we ourselves have so many problems, so many defects, how can we afford to point fingers at others? So it's better to be concerned, like, well, I also have so many faults, and someday some devotees will detect them and they will point them out to me. So how do I expect others to point out my defects? In public, in a temple, all the devotees should be invited, and then out loud my defects should be broadcasted. Do we want it that way?
No.
If I have some defect, then I would want that somebody should come and speak to me privately and point out my defects, and also suggest how I can be rectified. Not just point out the defects and that's it. You are fallen, you are defective, you are not a devotee, you are not even qualified to live in a temple, so get out of here. That shouldn't be our attitude. Our attitude should be we should be completely non-envious when we are trying to point some defects in others. So we have to be non-envious. Point B, desirous to practically assist the devotee in his Krishna consciousness. So we must be concerned that how we are going to help that particular devotee who is displaying some defects, help him in his Krishna consciousness. So when we point out the defects, we also have to point out the solution. What he should do. Point C, in a position spiritually or managerially which justifies and or necessitates such intervention, or be personally requested by the devotee to help him in his difficulty. When should we correct others? When we are in a managerial position where devotees' advancement and devotees' spiritual welfare are our business, then we can, but not otherwise. And if some devotee asks personally to help him out, then we can criticize or point out faults or correct devotees. Not that we should be always on the lookout for faults. And then once you get it, here it is, let's just get on his case and run into the ringer, that's the expression. The devotee offering correction must be practicing what he preaches. That's also very important. We must, before we go out to correct somebody, we must practice what you are preaching. Regarding that, there is a story. Let's take it as a story, but it has a nice moral. The story is related to a bogus guru. So that's why I don't want to mention it. Maybe they copied the thing from some Vaishnava behavior. Because only a Vaishnava can behave like that. Anyway, whatever it is, so I don't want to mention that person's name. So somebody came, one woman came to him and told that her son is very fond of sweets. So she asked him to instruct her son not to take any more sweets. Because if he told him, then he would listen. So he would listen. So then the sadhu told her to come back after 3 days. So 3 days after that, the sadhu called the boy and gave him instructions not to eat too much sweets. So after that, the lady asked him why he asked them to wait for 3 days. So then he replied that he himself was very fond of eating sweets. So he felt that when he himself is so fond of eating sweets, how he can tell this boy not to eat sweets. So he took 3 days to stop, to give up eating sweets. And after giving up himself, he asked the child to give up. Anyway, the moral of the story is nice. Method of connection. Connect by personal example and association. Guide the devotee to the shelter of a more advanced devotee. A junior devotee should not personally attempt to correct another devotee. He should reveal his heart to senior devotees whom he feels at ease with and seek his assistance, advice to adjust the situation. So the best way is to, instead of trying to correct ourselves, we approach some senior Vaishnavas and ask him to also help.
Yes.
What if a junior devotee is in a position of authority?
Then he is not junior.
Huh?
Then he is not junior, then he is senior. But if he is dealing with somebody who is senior by his status, like Guru, Godbrother and so forth, then he must do it in a very humble way. And better still is that he approaches some more senior devotee. Right. Like a junior devotee is a temple president and some senior devotee is creating some disturbance or develops some defect, which becomes obvious. He can do two things. Either he can wait for the GBC to come, and when the GBC comes, then he reports to the GBC and seeks the GBC's advice. That's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it is that he, instead of just he himself going to the senior devotee, he goes in a group with some other senior devotees in the group. And then that's how collectively they handle the situation. Junior devotee should not personally correct another devotee. He should reveal his heart to senior devotee whom he feels at his way and seek his assistance advice to adjust the situation. Harsh words and actions have no place in correcting a sincere devotee. We want to destroy the ignorance in the heart of the devotee, not the devotee himself. So this is another Vaishnava behavior. He tries not to use harsh words. One of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava is that he is soft-spoken, mitobhashi. Because words are very strong, very powerful. With words, you can create something, and with words, you can destroy something. Like the mantras. Mantras are actually words. And some words, I mean, these mantras are so powerful that mantras can create a universe and mantras can destroy a universe. So words also can create friendship and words can destroy relationship. So harsh words are not appropriate to use. If there is some sincere and honest criticism offered, we should be grateful, not upset. Now on our part, we should not use harsh words. But if somebody uses some harsh words to correct us, then we should try not to get upset about it. But personally, we should not use harsh words. But if somebody does, then we should try to take it with the right spirit. Yes, Hare Krishna.
Okay. Can a young devotee take his position?
He can appeal to a senior devotee. Like, actually, somebody did that to me. Of course, he didn't do it about himself. He did it on behalf of somebody else. You know, I was a little heavy with someone. And it kind of, he became very upset that I was so heavy. So somebody else came and spoke to me. I immediately accepted, I called him and I sorted it out with him. So it's better, you know, what we have to do as Vaishnavas, develop some understanding among ourselves. And anything that may breed misunderstanding, let us try to avoid that. Yes, Keshidamba.
Whatever the circumstance, should we just meditate on those four items of Trinadabhisa, Dharodabhisa, Jinnanasa?
That's the ultimate consideration.
And if you never transgress those, then all Vaishnava etiquette is...
It's all included there. That's very good.
Yeah. But the problem is that sloka can be very nicely followed by an advanced Vaishnava, and it is the emblem of an Uttama Adhikari. But we're on the lesser platform, and, you know, we're down there in the moat somewhere.
You see, devotion has two platforms. One is the practicing stage, and the perfected stage. Now, as a Madhyama Adhikari or Kanishtha Adhikari, we are practicing. But a Uttama Adhikari has perfected that life. But that is the crux of all our instruction. Mahaprabhu's final instruction is this. Now, the process of attaining pure devotional service is this. Trinadopi Sunichena, Tarariva Shahishnuna, Amanina, Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadhana. So, in a practicing stage, you practice that, and in a perfected stage, you have.
See, when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, he told him, Trinadabhisa, just go there and pay obeisances to everything, be equipoised in all circumstances. But when he spoke to Arjuna, though Arjuna was Trinadabhisa Nichina, apparently he wasn't really. You know, he was being very angry, he wasn't tolerating any right comment, rather it was stimulating him to fight further. But he still considered a great devotee.
So this Trinadopi Sunichena is the platform of devotional service. But devotional service means acting for the sake of pleasing Krishna. Right? Arjuna was not fighting out of his anger. Right? Or Arjuna was not fighting in order to... Arjuna's fight was to please Krishna. So he was situated on the Trinadabhi Sunichana platform. For so many years he had been maltreated. They have been deprived, they have been sent, wife was publicly abused, right? Insulted. Still they tolerated that. And finally when the battle was set, even at that time, Arjuna is saying, I don't want to fight. And so what does that mean? That means that Arjuna is situated in that Trinadabhi Sunichana platform. But then he starts to fight. Why? Because Krishna wanted him to fight.
So, it's very deep.
Yes, Krishna consciousness is very deep. Endless.
The point I'm trying to get at is, sometimes there may be discrepancy in a devotee's behavior or in a circumstance in the temple. So course, ultimately, it comes down to Krishna, the Super Soul, guiding the devotee. But sometimes the devotee may be in a quandary. He may think, should I just leave this to Krishna and just be humble and tolerant? Or is it now to act, the time to act on a principle? This is bad, and if I turn my face away from it, then I'm reneging on my duty. So the ultimate principle, I would think, would be that Krishna within the heart will give some guidance. Just tolerate it, or now is the time to deal with it.
I get your point. But from my personal experience, I would say that often sometimes we may try to justify our passion, you know, in the name of, you know, Krishna guiding us from the heart. Actually, that Krishna's guidance from the heart is a very advanced consideration. And we should try to, actually, we have to understand that we are in the Vaidivasi platform. So let us follow the Vidhis, the Vaishnava etiquette, and act according to that consideration. That is better. And another important consideration here, that yes, a devotee can use his anger, but he uses his anger to the non-devotees. Krodh bhakto dreshi jana. Those who are offensive to Krishna, uses his anger to him. We should not display our anger to the devotees.
Yeah, Prabhupada says, like a lion in the field, but a sheep at home.
Okay. Yeah. So, point six. If there is some sincere and honest criticism offered, we should be grateful, not upset. To react negatively to well-intentioned corrections is to manifest false ego. If somebody gives us some good advice, we should not become upset about it. We should try to accept it. And to react negatively to some well-intentioned advice is actually false ego. Here is a friend comes and tells us that Prabhu, you should not miss the morning program. Or let's put it this way, somebody comes and tells Maharaj, you shouldn't miss the morning program. I mean, if I think that, who are you to speak to me like that? You're just a householder. And I'm a sannyasi. That's false ego.
In the Gita, it says that Krishna says that if you give advice to a fool, that it only increases his anger. Good advice.
An advanced Vaishnava will see each and every correction offered as the mercy of the Lord, a mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If somebody comes to correct us, then we must understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually helping us to that person.
Yeah. This one's a very good example of the movement. Satsaguru Maharaj, in the introduction to his book, Chapter Reform Local, was sitting there, the temple chanting his rounds, and the bhakti came up and said, he didn't know he was Maharaj, and he's the chanting Hare Krishna, he just took it.
He took that bhakti, no matter wherever it came from. Like, there is a saying that if you find gold in a dirty place, you pick it up. Even if gold is there in a dirty place, do you reject it because it's lying in a dirty place? No, you pick it up. Because it's gold. So it doesn't matter wherever the advice is coming from. And the more we are able to do that, more advanced we become. Like Billa Mangal Thakur, the advice came from a prostitute. And he took it. So that's the meaning of accepting the advice as a mercy of Krishna. So, the more we can do that, is better for us. And actually, sometimes Prabhupada... Wonderful example regarding that. Prabhupada was in Amsterdam. Those days, Amsterdam was a small little center. And Amsterdam, I'm sure everyone knows, it used to be the hippie den. It still is, actually. Amsterdam is a city of freaks. So those days, you know, in late 60s or early 70s, you know. So we had a small center and hardly anything was happening there. But Prabhupada was going to hold the initiation ceremony. And nothing was organized. And Prabhupada was getting more and more angry. And they were about to hold a fire sacrifice, there was no flour. The wood that they collected was not appropriate, you know, to light the fire. So everything was in a mess. And then Prabhupada asked whether they had some fruits for sacrifice. Because in sacrificing the fruits. So that, then they said, yes, we have some fruits, Srila Prabhupada. And one bhaktin was sent to bring the fruits. And Sri came back with a bowl of fruit salad. And Prabhupada got really, really angry. And he started to chastise that girl. And that girl started to laugh. And Prabhupada got even more angry. And one hippie was standing there who lived in the temple for a few days and then he left. So when he was in the temple, he saw whenever somebody lost his temper, he was told to chant Hare Krishna. So he walks up to Prabhupada and says, why don't you chant Hare Krishna? So Prabhupada picked up his beat bag and started chanting Hare Krishna. So this is a perfect example of, you know, how humble Prabhupada was. He would take that advice. No matter from where you are. Prevention is better than cure. Prevention is better than cure. If all devotees take up the responsibility to develop proper awareness in their devotional behavior, the need for correction will be minimized. Actually, if we all take up the responsibility to correct ourselves, instead of finding faults with others, if we find faults with ourselves, then a lot of this problem will be. So let's try to become the biggest critic of our own selves. We love to criticize. Now let's start to criticize ourselves. As Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that beat your mind with a shoe 100 times in the morning as soon as you get up. Smash your mind. Yes.
In this regard, Bhaktivinoda addressed some of his translations of his books. He says that Vaishnava, he should draw up a list of his faults.
Yeah.
And he should look at the ones that he can now correct. Yeah. And then he should spend like a week then he correct this one. Yeah. And then he should progressively go through the list. Yeah. And he says that at the time of death, we'll be judged on how we corrected our own faults, not the faults of others.
Yeah, right. There's a nice story about that also. There was a Brahmin who used to live opposite to the house of a prostitute. Right. You know the story? So you tell us the story.
No, you tell mine. So
each time a man came to the prostitute, the Brahmin used to shout. And shout and just, you know, abuse the woman. And he used to put a stone, counting, you know, like, and there was a huge pile of stones, how many customers actually came to the hospital. Both of them died. The Brahmin died, and at the same time the prostitute also died. And then the Jamadutas came to drag the Brahmana away. So the Brahmana was appealing and he was completely petrified. And then all of a sudden he noticed that a golden chariot came to take the prostitute back to heaven. So he asked,
I have been performing so many Vedic rituals, I have been so good. So why Jamadutas have come to drag me, and this girl who had been a prostitute all her life, she's going back to the spiritual sky. Then the Brahmana was told that actually all his life he was obsessed with the prostitute sin. Whereas the prostitute was always lamenting how sinful she was. So because of her lamentation, she was always concerned about her defects, and she used to pray, "My Lord, I'm so sinful, I'm so fallen, that I have to take up this profession of a prostitute. So please forgive me." So she was constantly praying. So that's why she went back to Godhead. She became qualified to go back to Godhead. But because you are always obsessed with her sin, so you got all her sins.
Just to quote a mundane source on that, there's a poet called Woodsworth, English poet, and he wrote the transcribable stanza. If we spend all our time looking for our own faults, we never have time to find anyone else's.
Yes, if we're concerned about our own faults, then we don't have time to find faults with others.
Or a servant that accepts the master's chastisement as mercy, then he gets intelligence to be able to not do that same thing again. He accepts it as mercy.
Yes, I know, in a way it's easy to accept the chastisement from the superiors. But actually the real test is when we have to accept chastisement from our peers. And also we have to be tolerant to the extent that we can accept it from anyone and be Krishna conscious.
Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much.